Our second reading today comes from 1 John, the 4th chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, originally I had intended that today would be the first of a three-part series on women of the Bible. However, I also feel it's important as we enter into a discussion about possibly expanding our welcoming statement and becoming a reconciling in Christ congregation that we spend a little time talking about this too. It's important because many of you, I'm sure, have many questions, concerns, or just don't understand what the need is for doing this anyway. I mean, we all like to think of Spirit of Christ as being a welcoming congregation, don't we? And we are welcoming, because I believe we're welcoming to everyone who joins us for worship. But still, there are many people out in our community who drive along Minnetonka Boulevard every day who probably think that this church is no different than any other church. Maybe they didn't grow up in a faith community and so just lump all churches together. Maybe they've just come to the belief that all churches are full of hypocrites and close-minded people who profess to love their neighbors, but their every action tells a different story. Or maybe, at some point in their life, a church has made them feel less than worthy, shaming and hurting them so badly that they've walked away completely from organized religion. Well, whatever their reason, and however valid or invalid their assumptions might be, the truth of the matter is that for some people, the church has become one of the most least welcoming places they pass by each day. And I, for one, want that perception to end. And one way we can start to change that perception is to become a recognized, reconciling in Christ congregation. A congregation that not only strives to be a welcoming place of worship, but an inclusive place of worship. And to be inclusive is so much harder, but it's worth it. It's harder because it means opening ourselves up to seeing things through the lens of someone else and then often going out of our own way to meet the needs of someone else. And it's worth it because it not only teaches us humility, but in the long run, it strengthens our faith and will help transform us into a community of believers willing to take on risk for the sake of the gospel. Now, I'm sure most of us are familiar with the rainbow flag that can often be seen flying in front of Reconciling in Christ congregations. And today I've invited Rich Olson to share with us not only the history and origin of how and why this flag came to be a symbol of acceptance and pride in the LGBTQ community, but also to touch on his take between being welcoming and inclusive as a church in this day and age. To that end, I'm cutting this sermon short this morning. So Rich will have a little more time later to talk on this subject. And so we can hear firsthand why more congregations should be embracing God's call to love all people all the time. Amen.
History of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag. Many of you Harvey Milk is a mentor of mine. I worked on his last campaign in San Francisco in 1977. I will remember, we were sitting in a meeting and it was before going out on the streets, and a young man stood up and he said, "I thought we were only for gay rights." That's what we were called back then, not the LGBTQ1+. And Harvey listened and he said, "Young man, one thing we have to have an understanding, if you're going to work on my campaign, you have to understand I am for everyone's rights." But the history of the flag . You have to give them hope, he said. Hope for a better world, hope for a better tomorrow. Harvey Milk was an ordinary man, but he had an extraordinary dream. The dream to change history. Harvey dreamed that everyone, even gay people, would have equality. He dreamed that he had his friends would be treated like everyone else. He dreamed that one day people would be able to live and love as they pleased. With his New York accent, Harvey talked to everyone about his dream. His voice boomed. His body bounced with energy and excitement. Some people listened. A few agreed. Most did not. Straights for gays, pass gay rights bill. I love my gay son. But then we heard, God says no, gays must go. But Harvey's big voice and big dream wouldn't be stopped. He discovered the best way to change was to help make laws. In 1977, Harvey Milk took a big step toward that dream when he became one of the first openly gay people to be elected to a political office in the United States. Harvey and his friends planned marches to protest inequality and unfair laws. And just before one of the marches, Harvey had an idea. He had a lot of ideas. A symbol, he thought. We need a symbol that shows who we are and how we feel. Something to carry during the march. Something to make people feel they're part of a community. Something to give people hope. Something extraordinary. Harvey knew an artist, Bill Baker, and he asked him, "We need a flag. We want a flag." Volunteers arrived to design the flag. They cut and pieced and sewed until Harvey Gilbert and the other activists set a flag with 8 colorful stripes, a flag that Harvey hoped would give hope. On June 28, 1978, when it was time to march, a breeze stirred in San Francisco. The flag whirled. Rights are won only by those who make their voices heard. The flag fluttered, flapped, and flew. A rainbow as bright as unique as the men and women who walked behind it. They led the march. Harvey and people asked for equality. They asked to be treated like everyone else. They asked to live in love as they pleased. They hoped the march would make a difference. Harvey was proud of the flag and proud of himself, and hoped others could be proud too. 5 months later, on the morning of November 27, 1978, Harvey and Mayor of San Francisco, George Moscone, were assassinated. Their lives were taken by a man who did not think like Harvey, or feel like him, or love like him. The flag did not fly on that dark, sad night. Instead, thousands and thousands of people marched, silently carrying candles. The candlelight lit the streets of San Francisco, a mile of glowing candlelight, in honor of 2 lives lost. That could have been the end of Harvey's dream and the colored flag, but it wasn't. More rainbow flags were created. Some of the colors changed. 8 stripes became 6. But the meaning of the flag did not change. It was a flag of equality. More and more people began to think of the flag as their flag, and they began to feel pride. They began to have hope. In 1994, Gilbert designed another rainbow flag, the one that was larger than the rest, women and men side by side carried the flag a mile long through the streets of New York City. The flag wove through the streets, up and down avenues and boulevards and around city buildings. The people demanded equality, demanded to be treated like everyone else, demanded to live and love as they please. They were proud, they had hope, they made a difference. I ask for the moment, the movement to continue, for the moment to grow. More rainbow flags were made. Some were printed on bumper stickers, t-shirts, others were on lamp posts in Chicago. One was hung in the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. Some of the rainbow flags were flying in other countries, Brazil, England, Ireland, Russia, Singapore, and Turkey. The rainbow flag now unfurled on farms, in suburbs, in cities. The flag flew proudly outside public buildings, hotels, shops, homes, and churches. And once on June 26, 2015, the White House was awash with colors, and it's rumored that Michelle Obama snuck by security, Secret Service, with one of the daughters, and went on one side of the White House so they could see the rainbow flag and know that equality was here. Equality, pride, hope, love, Harvey's dream became a flag for all of us. Talking about welcoming and affirming congregations, what's the difference between welcoming and affirming equality? We've heard the exclusive and inclusive mentioned many, many times. I know that inclusive sometimes is not easy. It takes, change is not easy at times. But I'll tell you, being in a world of exclusion was not easy. I grew up, I came out as a gay man, boy, child, whatever. At the age of 10, I've gone through a lot of things. And I've seen a thing, and one of the biggest disappointments of my life was when my church did not accept me as one of God's children. And I couldn't understand why, because God told us to love everyone. So all the gay people in this country, it wasn't just happening in my church, it was happening throughout the country, in the world. And a man who I met and I admire, Troy Perry, started in 1968 the Metropolitan Community Churches, where everyone was welcome. It wasn't a gay church because he invited everyone to come. But, and I think his dream, and I know the pastor here, we have a Metropolitan Community Church here in Minneapolis on Park Avenue. It's a place for people who have not been welcomed, and the reconciling congregation is not there. They still don't feel, but they have a place to go and worship because they are God's children. And Arlene Ackerman, who was one of the pastors there, who recently passed on, she told me once, Rich, my hope, and it is my hope too, is that someday we won't need a Metropolitan Community Churches, because every church, wherever, will be welcoming to everyone. Mm-hmm. And they have 300 congregations in 22 countries. It wasn't easy for Troy when he started. One of his first churches was burnt down in Los Angeles, but it didn't stop him. And then he lived through the AIDS epidemic. And one thing that hurt me one time as going through this, and I guess I was strong because I knew that God loved me, and if you're going to be one of God's children, you love everyone. That's what God told us. And I think that in, is it Corinthians? where God says we have to be reconcilers. And how true. Was when a good friend of mine had passed away with AIDS, and his own church would not have a service because he was gay and he had AIDS. And that's where I was introduced to the Metropolitan Community Churches. And I am so proud that I love your new statement for me. And I would love to be here when you put that rainbow flag out in front of your church, because it means so much to me and so many other people. But I have a prayer I would like to say. Holy God, God of justice and righteousness, thank you for creating us in your divine image, placing with us, within us, the desire for peace and justice. Thank you for your loving presence with and among us as we gather this day. Let our songs and prayers tear down strongholds and break the chains so that all people can be free. Give us a zeal for justice so that we will work to make things right for those who are rejected, oppressed, and violated. Move us to action to always respond to the needs and cries of our neighbors. Shape and mold our lives so that everything we do may reflect your love, your justice, and your compassion. Use our gifts to serve and send to proclaim your good news throughout the world. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. And I'll be here when we raise that flag. But I also wanted to say that we were talking about the flags and how I'm sure we have a few Twins fans here. The Twins have the rainbow flag.
One of the things that you probably noticed in your bulletin is there's some frequently asked questions about reconciling Christ, and I invite you to please take the time to look that over. The council will be around before and after churches for the coming 4, 5, 6 weeks until we get around to setting an annual meeting to vote on this new welcoming statement. So if you have any questions, feel free to see me or any of the council members. And now I invite you to please stand as you are able to receive the message. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor